All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let us begin. So we are picking up today, Baruch Hashem, in the new parak we started yesterday. Today we'll really, in Meretz Hashem, dive in. Thank you, everyone, for accommodating the new start time. This way, again, we can get through the daf and the Meretz, we don't have to rush too much. So today's daf is Lamed Aleph 31. We are picking up on Lamed Amud Beis. And we'll pick up Ella Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, which is 2, 4, 6, 8. 9 lines up from the bottom. Our shiur this morning is dedicated by our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Shvat and Faith Wolf, in memory of Faith's mother, Nessa Basvelvel, Zichrono Lebracha, and Bracha Strimber, in memory of her husband, Avi Avram ben Kamen Eliezer Halevi, Zichrono Lebracha. Our week of learning is also dedicated by an anonymous sponsor in the merit of Rafu Shlima for Kamen Leib, Ben Genendel MS, and Nechama Tamar Bas Bracha Sara, as well as by Rabbi and Mrs. Ziffer, in honor of our commemoration of the yard site of Rabbi Ziffer's mother, Rachel Bas Meir Yehuda Leib HaKoin. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshamas will have an aliyah, the families and Nechama, and all of those who require a refuah will have one, together with Kol Chole Yisrael. And with that, let us begin. So remember again, the Mishnah introduced us to the concept ultimately of Eim Omdin Lehispala El Mitoch Kovid Rosh. The idea that when one davens, one should get up to daven within a state of preparedness, a state of seriousness. So we're trying to figure out, and Kovid Rosh really means understanding what it is that a person is about to do. Understanding that tefillah represents this dialogical connection with the Ribono Shel Olam. Ultimately, again, that highlights the nature, the unique nature of this relationship we have with Hashem. So remember, again, we're trying to figure out what is the source for that. Where does that come from? So the Gemara says, Hishtachavu LaHashem B'Hadras Kodesh. So the Gemara says, Al Tikri B'Hadras Ella Becharados. So don't read it as Hadras Kodesh, which we'll define in just a moment. Rather, read it as Becharados Kodesh. Ishtachavu LaHashem, worship Hashem, prostrate yourself to Hashem in the state of Hadras. Remember again, Charados. Charada literally means fear. But understand, the Gemara is not in any way suggesting that we worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a state of fear. Fear is used in this context much more as reverence. So the Charados Kodesh. So the Gemara says, Mimai, Dimali Olam, Emulacha, Hadras Mamish. Maybe Hadras also means Hadras. Now, what does Hadras mean? Hadras is from like same notion of Hidr, beauty. So maybe it means worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu like in a state of beauty. What does that mean? Ki Hadr Rav Yehuda Hava Metzayin Nafshei V'Hadr Matzlei. Like Rav Yehuda Rav Osai would go ahead and what? He would dress up in his finest clothing. Rashi says, Metzayin Nafshei Mekashit Atzmo Bebegodov. He would make sure to dress up nicely. So maybe Hadras literally means Hadras. And here the Pasuk is telling us, when you worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dress for the occasion. Make sure that a person's dress is conducive and reflective as to the importance of the tefillah experience. To which the Gemara says, "Olam imelacha." I'm sorry. Ella amrav nachar by Yitzchak mihachas. Well, so we're looking for a source. We're looking for a source that tefillah should be done in a state of kovid rosh. So the Gemara says, "Rather, it's from here." Olam mihacha. Evdu as Hashem biira vegilu bira ada. So it's literally translated, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, with fear, / trepidate, right? Really fear, reverence, vigilu, and rejoice, bira ada, with trepidation. My vigilu bira ada, what does that mean? Amrabada barmasna amrabba, bimakum gila, sham tehira ada. In the place where you rejoice, which is a reference to tefillah, sham tehira ada. There should be an element of trepidation. So what I say, the idea being over here, this incredible yisod, that when we daven, we approach tefillah with a sense of kovid rosh, tefillah with a sense of awe, tefillah with a sense of trepidation, tefillah with a sense of reverence. But again, not fear. See, fear, you know, I think I've mentioned this before, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev says that we often think that the goal is to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, the problem is, when you fear something, you distance yourself from it. Right? So the idea is not to fear, well, I don't want to distance myself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just the opposite. I spend my life trying to get close to Him. So the better word often is reverence. When you revere something, you recognize that it is separate and apart from you, yet you try with all of your might to get closer to it. Abayi Havi Yosef, Kamei de Rabba. So Abayi was sitting in front of Rabba. Chazye, we'll see, these are incredible Gemaras. Chazye, to have a Kabadach Tuva. This is very interesting. He saw that Rabbah was literally very joyous. Kabadach Tuva, Rashi says, to have a Kabadach Tuva, Yoser midai v'nira kiporek o. So he saw Rabbo said that he was too joyous. Now badach could also mean laughing too much. He saw that he was too much in a joyous state, and to Abaye, it looked frivolous. Amar v'gilubera adak ksiv. He said, the pasuk says, Gilubera ada, rejoice in trepidation. To which Rabbi responded, don't worry about me. Amar le, anat tefillin menachno. I'm wearing my tefillin. So because I'm wearing my tefillin keep me in the right headspace. So first of all, the Gemara is introducing this idea over here about putting a cap on frivolity. Right? On frivolity, that a person should not allow themselves to get carried away with laughter or with too much joy, as at the end of the day, it could lead one to a sense of frivolity. Rabbi Yirmiya, Halviyasek and Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Yirmiya was sitting in front of Rabbi Zera. Chazi to have a kabadach tuva. And again, same thing. He saw that he was laughing or excessively joyful. Amarle, Bechol Eitzev Yemosek Siv. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, literally Bechol Eitzev, with all sadness comes great reward. Rabbi said the idea is that a person should maintain an even-keeled temperament, and that a person should not allow themselves to get carried away with joy, because again, ultimately, that leads to a sense of frivolity. So he says, Amrle, don't worry about me. Ana tefillin menachna. I'm wearing my tefillin. And because I'm wearing my tefillin, therefore what? The wearing of the tefillin, by definition, keep me rooted and grounded in a state of kiddusha. Marbrei Ravina, both say an incredible story. Marbrei Ravina, Avatila, both say, what it tells, what, understand what the Gemara is saying is, you say to yourself, so what is it, I'm supposed to limit my joy? Right? After all, again, we're all good chassidim of Rabbi Nachman, mitzvah gedol alios besimcha tamid. So again, remember, what the Gemara is talking about over here is not being in a state of happiness. What the Gemara is concerned about over here is a certain state of frivolity. The idea being that if simcha leads to a frivolous nature, a person says things that they shouldn't be saying, does things that they should not be doing, jokes around the bus. You know, you see this, some people, they're always making a joke or they're always making a comment. So first of all, if you're always making a joke and you're always making a comment, at a certain point in time, people stop taking you seriously. Because again, okay, people might laugh, but at a certain point in time, unfortunately, they're laughing at you, not laughing with you. The idea is maintaining a serious disposition in life, and being a person of depth, and being a person who brings something to the table, and being a person who's thoughtful, who's intuitive. So here the Gemara is just saying, of course you should be joyous. Of course you should be joyous, but not frivolous. So the Gemara goes weiter. Marbrei Ravina, Avatilul Lebrei. So we'll say Marbrei Ravina made a chasana for his son. Chazinra Baran Lekabat Chituva. I suppose this is wild. He saw that the rabbis were getting a little bit out of hand. Right, they were getting a little bit too joyous, and he was worried, ultimately, again, that it was going to lead to like an inappropriate level of joy. So what does he do? Tap of Lamed Aleph. Aisi Kasa Demurka, Bas Arba Meazuzi. He brought a beautiful, Rashi says, Kos Shel Zechuchis Levana, a beautiful cup of white crystal, and he broke it. V'taver Kamayu, he broke it. Vatsivu. Now, Vatsivu literally means they became sad. Became sad just means what he did is he tempered the mood a little bit. He tempered the mood. They both say this is an incredibly important yisod. Joy is so incredibly important, but like everything in life, in moderation. Right? If joy gets unchecked, then joy ultimately, again, could lead to negative activities as well. Rav Ashi, Avet Hilul Lebrei. Rav Ashi made a chasana for his son. Chazinu Rabban and Davi Kabad Chituva. He saw that the rabbis were getting a little bit too carried away in their joy. I see Kasa Dezugisa Chiyurta. Again, he brought a beautiful crystal glass. V'tavar Kamayu. And he broke it in front of them. V'a'atzivu. So you want to remember again, this notion of taking something beautiful and breaking it represents this idea that something that is so beautiful, something that is so delicate and so beautiful, could be broken in just a moment. The idea being, the message he was trying to give to the Rabbanon is, right now you're celebrating a Simcha Shel Mitzvah, right? An incredible joyous mitzvah, an incredible holy joy. But if it remains unchecked, it can very quickly descend into something that is not good. Just like the crystal is here, and in the next moment it's broken, so too again your joy may be holy in this moment, but if left unchecked, could become something negative. Rabbi Sashay, something amazing. If you look at Tosus, Tosus says over here, I see Kasa de Zugisa Hiyurta, Mikan Nagu, Leshabre Zuchuchis Benisuin. Tosus says, this is the source for the custom to break a glass at a wedding. I just want to point out something very interesting. What Tosus is telling us is as follows, that even before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, there apparently was a practice to break a glass at a chasana. So today when we break a glass, it is clear the reason we do it, or at least the reason we assume we do it, is Zechel Korban, to remember the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. But it's interesting is that it appears that there was a practice on the books already prior to the Korban to dafka break a glass at a chasana for a dramatically different reason. Nothing to do with destruction, but rather as a way of tempering the simcha and making sure ultimately again that the joy remained in a state of holiness. Quite fascinating. So listen to this. So the Rabbanan said to Rav Hamnuna Zut, and I will say, just to understand, you know, the notion of this is the Gemara trying to highlight us that of course to be besimcha and of course to laugh and of course I want to be clear, the Gemara is not trying to limit that. The Gemara is trying to limit, you know, things of more like a frivolous or lightheaded nature. Whether it's the comments we make or the way we conduct ourselves, the Gemara is telling us to take ourselves seriously. If you take yourself seriously, then you talk in a certain way, then you conduct yourself in a certain way, then even though, again, you're incredibly joyous, but that joy manifests itself in a different way. So the Gemara goes weiter. Interesting Gemara. So the Rabbanan said to Rav Hamnuna Zuti at the chasana of the son of Mar Berei Dravina. So listen to this. So he said to Rav Hamnuna Zuti, Lishri Lan Mar, sing us a song, right? Sing us a song, right? Apparently, again, he was a beautiful singer. Sing us a song at the chasana. Amr Lahu, supposed to say, here was the song of Rav Hamnuna. Vay Lan Dimasinan, Vay Lan Dimisnan. Woe to us, for we will die. Woe to us, for we will die. This is the song he sang at the chasana. I have a strong feeling he probably didn't get asked to sing again at chasana too many more times after that. But that was it. So we'll say, but the idea is the same. Obviously, if he's singing this, it means, again, he felt that the joy at the wedding had taken on a different level and taken on a different tone. See, he felt a need to kind of rein it back in. Amrali Anan Mainani Basrak, so we'll say. So you can imagine everybody trying to listen to this, they're like, what's the chorus? Right? Wait, what's the chorus of this one? Like, what's our part? You say, okay, we got your part. Woe to us, for we will die. Woe to us, for we will die. Very easy to follow along, right? What's the chorus? Samanani basach amalei he Torah vehe mitzvah de mignu alon. Where is our Torah and where is our mitzvos that ultimately protect us? So we'll say, if you think about it, it's a very profound song. Rashi says, "Hey Torah, v'hei mitzvah demignu alon. Heichana Torah shasaknu, v'heichana mitzvah shana mekaimin sheyignu alina medina shel gehenim." So we'll see at the end of the day, where is the Torah? Where is the mitzvos that will protect us? Death comes for everyone. But what happens to you after 120? Where you go, where you spend eternity, what your afterlife looks like is fundamentally dependent on the Torah and mitzvos you bring with you to Din V'cheshbon. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rashbi. Asr la'am basay. Here, interestingly enough, here the Gemara captures the essence of what it's trying to convey. Asr la'adam shi'imale schok piv ba'olam azeh. So literally translated, a person is prohibited from filling their mouth with laughter in this world. So we'll say, what Shneamar quotes the pasuk, "Az yimalei schok pinu olishanenu rina." Then our mouth will be filled with laughter and our tongues with praise. When is that? A masai bezman shiyumru bagoyim higdil Hashem laasos im eila. So we'll say, when does that happen? When do our mouths become filled ultimately again with joy? That's when Mashiach comes. Mashiach comes. So we'll say, so the idea being that now the Gemara is introducing a new dynamic to this, recognizing that until Mashiach comes, so everything in this world is incomplete. Our simchas are incomplete. Everything is incomplete. So to lose yourself in any joy in this world represents your lack of represents almost a feeling as if your joy is complete, which then means that you don't fully appreciate that which is truly lacking in this world. When Mashiach comes, azim malei schok pinu. Pretty incredible. Amar Rav Reish Lakish, shemiyamav lo lo milei schok pe balam azeh. This is about Reish Lakish, that he never allowed his mouth to be filled with laughter in this world. Once he heard this halacha from Rabbi Yochanan, his Rebbe. So we'll say, the idea being, to be very clear, don't chas v'shalom think that this is Chazal telling us not to be happy, or not to be joyful, or not to be joyous. Chas v'shalom. What it's Chazal telling us is, don't get carried away with simcha, because that could lead to negative behavior, and recognize that whenever you do experience joy, our joy is incomplete until the great day that Mashiach comes and brings Gula. Tan Rabbanan, Ein Om Din Lehispalel, Lo Mitoch Din V'Lo Mitoch Dvar Halacha, Ela Mitoch Halacha Psuka. What's very interesting, Halacha. One should not get up to daven after they've adjudicated a case, or after learning a halacha. Now, Dvar Halacha in this context means like a more complicated, involved halacha. Ela Mitoch Halacha Psuka. Rather, I will say, what should you do before you daven? You should learn something straightforward and easy. So we'll say, what's the idea over here? What we're concerned about over here is that if you get up to daven after having engaged in something very involved, intellectually involved, what's going to happen? You're going to be thinking about that during davening. Which we'll say, on one hand, again, halavai, the greatest problem we should have is that I'm thinking too much and learning during davening, right? I'll take that, right? But again, but lamaisa, the idea is, my mind should be clear, it should be settled ultimately to engage in tefillah. Therefore, the Gemara says, here's what's interesting. It's good to learn Torah before you daven, because Torah puts you in the right mindset for tefillah. But if possible, the Gemara says, halacha psuka. Halacha psuka means something straightforward that's not really subject to too much controversy. What are some examples? The hechi dami halacha psuka. Amar abai ki ad rabzeira. Dami rabzeira. Benos Yisrael lechmiru alatzman, sha'afidu roos tipas dam kichardol, yoshvos yosheves aleha shivanekin. I'll say, again, a little bit of a blast from the past. An example of halacha psuka bosa is what? That halacha lemaisa, remember from Nida, Benos Yisrael, Jewish women, accepted upon themselves the chumrah, that even if they see a most minute amount of discharge of Nida blood, they observe 7 clean days. Remember from Maseches Nida, even though the concept of Shiva Nikim, 7 clean days, has nothing to do with Nida, and has everything to do with what? With Zava. Nevertheless, the Chumrah, that's been on the books already for ages now, is that Halacha Lamaisa, again, women observe Shiva Nikim, even for Nida discharge. So that's an example of a Halacha, that's a Halacha Pesuka. Or is, there's no machlokis about that. There's no. It is what it is. The Gemara says, Rava, Rava says, well, there's another example. Kihada Rav Yoshia. Then Rav Yoshia. Marim Adam al Tvuaso, Machnisa Bemot Shala, Kadesha Tehe Behemta Ocheles Uptura Mina Meiser. Another example of Allah Psukha. We'll say that Allah is that grain only becomes subject to Meiser, subject to tithing obligations, when it's brought into the home. What's called Ri'as Pnei Abayis. But not only that, it has to be fully threshed and piled. So for example, if you were to bring in grain in its husk, and you were, even though you were to bring it into the home, technically speaking, because it is not fully processed, therefore it's not subject to Meiser obligation. However, Chazal were gozer, and Chazal said, no, you can only eat an achilas pras, right? You can only eat a snack from it, you can't make a whole meal of it. But I will say, but for example, one would be permitted to give it to their animal, because giving it to your animal is the equivalent of achilas pras. Okay, another example of a straightforward halacha. Viba yisema, ki ad rav huna, dam rav huna, am rav zira, hamak izdan bebehemas kajim, asra ba'anua ma'olim bo. Another example of a straightforward halacha. If you do bloodletting on a sacrificial animal, or an animal that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, so ultimately, again, the blood itself is asr ba'anua, prohibited from benefit, and ultimately subject to me'ila. Okay, Bosh Rashi points out over here that even though generally we say that blood is not subject to me'ila, this is a different kind of case. Good. So I'll say, so these are just different examples of halachas. Rabbanan avdi kimas nisin, Rav Ashi kibraisa. So we'll say the Gemara, this part ends off by saying the Rabbanan, they went ahead and conducted themselves like the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, and I will say, so I just want to point something out to you. What we have over here now are two very different models in tefillah preparation, in prayer preparation. So the Rabbanan conducted themselves like the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? In Omdim Lehispala Ela Mitoch Koved Rosh. That the mindset for tefillah is a state of like reverence. I'll call it, Koved Rosh means heaviness of head, a recognition about what I'm going about to engage in. This usually takes place by a person engaging in some meditative process beforehand. Ravashi Ovid Kibraisa. Ravashi, on the other hand, he conducted himself like the Braisa, namely, how would he prepare for davening? With a halacha psuka, a straightforward halacha. So it's just interesting. Again, you'll think about this on your own, but I think you could see that almost there are two different models in tefillah. What is it that puts you in the right mindset of tefillah? Is it learning the halacha psuka, or is it like meditation, the kovod rosh? And that's not just simply an academic machlokes. They must have different understandings as to what type of mindset is necessary for an impactful prayer experience. Okay, the Gemara goes right. Turn Rabbanon. Ein omdin, we'll say such a beautiful Gemara. Ein omdin lehispalel, lo mitoch atzlus, velo mitoch atzlus. Person cannot get up to daven in a state of sadness, nor can a person get up to daven in a state of laziness. Velo mitoch schok, not in a state of jest. Velo mitoch sicha, not in a state of conversation. Now Rashi says over here, sicha means sicha leitzanus, like silly conversation. V'lo mitoch kalus rosh, and not from a state of lightheadedness. Rashi says over here, chilav shal kovid rosh, right? That's the opposite of kovid rosh. V'lo mitoch dvarim betelim, and not, I will say, in the aftermath of foolish, unworthy things. I will say, the idea being, and I think that this, for many of us, I include myself in this, is a little bit of like a lost art form. The notion of preparing for davening, right? Putting myself in the right mindset for tefillah and what that means. But the Gemara says, if you think that you're going to come off of just like some you know, silly conversation or joking conversation and go into meaningful dialogue with God, it doesn't happen. It doesn't, that transition doesn't occur. So it's really quite fascinating. So not, and again, it's true, not from Atzlos, not Schok, not Sicha, not Kalus Rosh, Lat Dvarim Betelim, Ella, Mitoch Simcha Shal Mitzvah. This is quite beautiful. Rather, how should you go into davening? You should go into davening with Simcha Shal Mitzvah. Rabbi said, now what does that mean, Simcha Shal Mitzvah, the joy of mitzvah performance? So Rashi says, Rashi is actually quite interesting. Ela mitoch Simcha Shal Mitzvah, kegon divrei tanchumin shal Torah, kegon samach legulas mitzrayim, o samach letehila ledavid, shu shal shevach v'tanchumin, kegon rizon yirei av yaseh, shomer Hashem eskalo avav, o kegon mikros hasaduros betfilas arvis, ki lo yitosh Hashem esamahu ki yotzen. So Rashi understands over here that what it actually refers to are certain phrases that we have in davening, like the bracha of Gal Yisrael. The Gemara understands mitoch simcha shal mitzvah refers, the mitzvah over here, interestingly enough, is Torah, is learning. The simcha nature of the mitzvah is learning psukim, or learning concepts in Torah that fill the heart with joy. So for example, when I say Gal Yisrael, I'm referencing Yetzias Mitzrayim, I'm remembering the Exodus, and by remembering the Exodus, the same way God redeemed us historically, ultimately He could redeem me now, and therefore grant all of my requests that I'm going to lodge with Him in Shemona Esrei. For example, Musaf, I say Ashrei first. So I say psukim that highlight the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His ability to sustain all living things. The Gemara understands that to mean Simcha Shal Mitzvah. But what's that? Pasha Pshat also is, it can mean just stop learning. Just stop learning Torah. When you learn Torah, ultimately, again, that could also be a Simcha Shal Mitzvah, which puts you in the right mindset for the performance of for davening. Mechaim. Lo yipater adam mechaveri, lo mitoch sicha, lo mitoch schok, lo mitoch chalas rosh, lo mitoch dvar medelem, ela misoch dvar halacha. But what's that? Similarly, again, when a person takes leave of his friend, the last thing you should say to your friend is not something jocular, or not something lightheaded, or not just empty talk, rather dvar halacha. When you part with someone you love, you should go ahead and you part with your friend, you should end up with a dvar halacha. Because you see it with the early prophets. The early prophets concluded their words with divrei shevach and tanchumen. So Rashi gives examples of this. Ultimately, again, that early Nevi'im, even those who gave Musar to Klal Yisrael, ultimately end off with some type of positive message. V'chin tana mari b'reid Rav Huna, b'reid Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, al yipater adam mechavero, ela mitoch dvar halacha. But it's actually quite beautiful. A person should take leave of his friend with a dvar halacha. Why? Gemara says, shemitoch kach zochrehu. Because we'll say, if you end off your encounter with your friend with a dvar halacha, he will remember you. But it means, he tells someone a good chap. First of all, it also tells you what kind of friends you should try to keep, right? The kind of friend that's going to appreciate a dvar halacha when you say goodbye and not going to give you some type of strange look. So the idea being that if you tell him a dvar halacha, he'll remember you. But say one time Rav Kahana escorted Rav Sin Bar Ashi from Pumnara until Beit Sinisa. These are places in Bavel. Kimat Laha. So when they got to Beit Sinisa, Amar Le Mar Vaday Da Amri Inshi Hanit Sinisa De Bavel Isnumi Adam Arishon Vad Ashta. Is it true? So we'll say, so again, remember, so Rav Kahana is describing Rav Ashi. So when they got to this place, Beit Sanisa in Bavel, Rav Kahana said to Rav Ashi, is it true what people say, that the palm trees here in Beit Sanisa are here from the times of Adam HaRishon? Amarle, he said to him, you know, Ad Karasan Milsei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. You reminded me of a statement. Don't know if it was Rabbi Chanina. My dichsiv ba'aretz asher lo avar ba'ish v'lo yashav adam sham. What does the pasuk mean when it says in a land that no one ever passed through and no one ever settled? V'chimi achar lo avar heich yashav. If no one ever passed through it, then how did anyone ever settle it? Ela lomar lecha kol aretz shegasra le'adam rishon li'yishuv nis yashva. But say any land that Adam Rishon declared would be inhabited was in fact inhabited. And any land that Adam Rishon did not decree should be inhabited was not inhabited. So we'll say a very beautiful idea. Adam Rishon was the one ultimately again who went ahead and outlined which parts of the earth would be inhabited, which parts of the earth would not be inhabited. And Mordechai ilav l'rsim bar ashi mihagrunya vad bekipi v'amrele ad beidur. So we'll say it's interesting, even though this last piece doesn't have anything to do with the previous discussion, the connection seems to be ultimately what? The idea of livui. That ultimately, again, part of Hachnasas Archim is escorting your guest out. And that's an incredibly important part of Hachnasas Archim as well. The Gemara is just giving another example, ultimately, of livui. Tan Rabbanon, Hamispalatar Sheikhavin Libo Lashamayim. But see, when a person davens, they have to direct their heart towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea being a sense of kavana. Abba Shalom or Simon Ladavar, Tachin Libam Lakshay Vaznecha. Tanya, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Kach Hayam in Hagosh Rabbi Akiva. This is quite beautiful. This was the meaning of Rabbi Akiva. Kishahayam is Spalel, Imat Sibor, Hayam Mekatsreva Ola. When Rabbi Akiva will be davening with the Tzibur, so when obviously Rabbi Akiva would daven with the Tzibur, the Shliach Tzibur, the Chazim would wait for him. Therefore, he would daven quickly, Bepnei Torech Tzibur, so as not to go ahead and cause any undue delay for the Tzibur. But when he would daven on his own, sorry, when he would daven himself, Adam manicho bezavis zu, umotso bezavis acheres. So also listen to this. Apparently, when he would daven by himself, he would have such a protracted tefillah, but not just protracted, such a physically vigorous tefillah that literally, again, he would start davening in one corner and he would end up in a different corner. The Kol Kach Lama, how would he end up in all these different places? Mipnei Krios Vishtachavios. Ultimately, again, because all of the bending downs and all of the prostrations. So the Akiva had quite a labor dig davening. Right? So interesting, just two models of prayer. When he was Betzibur, he davened quickly, so as shouldn't create a Tircha de Tzibura. But when he was on his own, ultimately, again, a much longer and protracted tefillah. Amar lechia bar abli, olam yispala adam bebayis sheyesh bo chalonos. What's an interesting halacha? Person should always daven in a home that has windows. Shneamar vechivein pisehen leis. What's according to the pasuk from Daniel, quoting that Daniel davened in a windowed chamber. So we'll say, interesting enough, this is not just a halacha in a home. Shulchan Aruch actually codifies this la halacha by a shul also. That a shul is supposed to have windows. Why windows? So the idea is that if a person has a lapse in concentration, the idea is that a person could look outside, not outside to what's going on in the street, but look up to the heavens, be able to become inspired like that, and therefore to once again reignite their kavana. So the Gemara says, Yacho yispala adam kol yom kulo. You might have thought that a person is supposed to daven all day long. Kvar mefurash ayde Daniel v'zin nintlas. It's what we're going to see. Many of the halachos of davening we have are alluded to in Sefer Daniel. Daniel davened three times a day. Yacho mishabala golo hochlo kvar. You might have thought that once Jews were exiled, there's no longer a concept of tefillah. Ne'emar. Dihu avad min kadama dina. ultimately, again, as they, so Pasuk says, as they were doing, they continued to do as they had previously done, i.e. they continued to daven even in galus. Yachol yispala adam l'chol ruach sheyirtze. You want to thought that a person could daven in any direction that they want. So we already saw this in yesterday's daf. Talmud Lomar, Neged Yerushalayim. Yachol yehe kolom v'asachas. Suppose you might have thought that you could daven all three tfilos at once. Kvam mefurushai dey David dechsev erev vavoker v'tzaharayim. David HaMelech already says that when do you daven? In the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. Yachol yashmiya kolo b'tfilaso. You might have thought that you should raise your voice during davening. Kvam mefurush ayidei chana. Also, we've already learned by chana. Shnei amar, v'kola lo yishamea. The pasuk says by chana that her voice was not heard. Chana davened. We're going to talk a lot about chana in just a moment. But chana davened silently. The silent prayer of chana ultimately, again, becomes a paradigm for how we daven as well. Yochol yishol adam tzracha v'achar kach yispalo. You might have thought that a person should ask for his needs and then daven. In other words, I might have thought that first I ask for my needs, then I engage in supplications. So the Gemara says, "Kvar meforshay de Shlomo shenemar lishmoa el harina vi el hatfila." The pasuk says, "Listen to the rina, then the tfila." Rina zu tfila. Rina Rabosa refers to praise. Tfila zu bakasha. Tfila refers to request. You see, Rabosa, this is how Shmona Esrei is modeled. First, we praise God, right? That's the first three brachos. Then, ultimately, we engage in our requests. Ein Omer Davar, so the Gemara says, Ein Omer Davar Bakasha, Achar Emes V'yatziv. Aval Achar HaTfilah Afil L'Kisedr V'ido Shem Kippurim Omer. We'll say, after Emes V'yatziv, we do not add in any supplication. So what this is saying is, between the Brach of Gal Yisrael and Shmona Esrei, we don't add in any supplications, because as we've discussed, the goal is to juxtapose Gal Yisrael to Shmona Esrei. However, at the end of Shmona Esrei, you can add in whatever you want. So this is specifically referring to after you say Amvarech Esamo Yisrael Bashalom, you could add in whatever supplications you want. The truth is, you could add in whatever supplications you want in Shmona Esrei itself as well. It's Marnami Amrav Chibar Avshi Amrav Chibar Avshi Amrav Af Api Sha Amru Adam Shol Tzuach B'Shmo B'Shomei Tfilah In Ba Lomer Achar Tfilah Safilu Kiseder Shel Mekipurim Omer. Even though we said that you can add in whatever supplications you want in Shomei Tfilah, but even at the end of Shmona Esrei, you can add in as much as you want. Amrav Amnuna Kamehuchasa Gavrasa Ikal Mishma Mehani Kray Dechana. But said there are many, many halachos of tefillah, of prayer, that we learn from Chana. Remember again, Chana was the wife of Elkanah, the mother of Shmuel. So remember again, her story is the dramatic story that begins at, in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph, mamish, the beginning of the Sefer. She's barren for many years, and ultimately is blessed with a son, one son, Shmuel. So the Gemara says, we learn not many halachos from her. The Chana himitaberes alibah. Remember again, so we'll say Chana goes into the Mishkan very broken over her plight and circumstances. So the pasuk is literally, she's speaking to her heart or on her heart. What do we learn from here? Mikalim ispalo, shetzarech sheyichavin libo. From here we learn that a person who davens is supposed to have kavana. Right, that your heart should be involved in your tefillah. Rak sfaseha naos, only her lips were moving. Mikalim ispalos sheyachtoch bisvasav. From here you see Abbas say that when you daven, you should articulate the words and not simply scan them. In other words, your lips should move. V'kala lo yishamea, her voice was not heard. Mikan she'asar lahagbia kala b'tfiloso. From here you see that you should not raise your voice during davening. V'yachsheva eli l'shikora. Remember again, when she's in the Mishkan, Eli was the Kohen Gadol, sees her davening, and he thought that she was drunk. Mikan sheshikar asher lehispalo. From here we see that someone who is drunk is not permitted to daven. Vayomer ela Eli ad masai tishtach. And Eli said to her, "How?" He gives her musa because he thought she was drunk. How long are you going to come in here in a state of drunkenness? Amr belazer. I mean, mikan laroa bechavero amadeis. Mikan laroa bechavero davar shenu hagun tarech lochicho. The boss said, "This is actually quite incredible." What do you see from here? From here you see that someone who sees in his friend something that is inappropriate should rebuke him. So the idea is actually quite interesting. This again, beyond our topic to do justice to this now, but again, this is an incredible yisod of a mitzvah of hochacha, that although sometimes we think that life is live and let live, that's true in many, many times in life, but sometimes when you see someone doing something wrong, you must absolutely, quote-unquote, rebuke them, meaning you must give them the hochacha, the idea that Eli doesn't say, oh, whatever, let's say, do what she wants. but ultimately says, how can you come in here in a state of drunkenness? If you see something wrong, you must step up. Again, I both say, there are halachos of hochacha, when to give hochacha, how to give hochacha. V'ata'an Chana batomer. So Chana says back to Eli, lo adoni, no my master. Amr ula v'tim rabbi yosir v'chanina. Amr alei, lo ad, so we'll say Chana gives Musr back to Eli. She says to him, lo adonata b'davar zeh, you clearly are not a master in this area. V'lo ruach ha-kodesh shorah alecha. And clearly, again, the divine spirit does not rest on you. Sha'ata choshdani b'davar zeh, because you suspect me of being drunk, and I'm not drunk. Ika da amri hachi amrale. Some say this is what she said to him. Lo adon ata lav ika shchina v'ruach ha-kodesh kabach. Clearly, again, you are not a master, and clearly the divine spirit does not rest upon you. She dantani lekaf chova velo dantani lekaf schus. You judged me unfavorably, and you did not give me the benefit of the doubt. Mi lo yadata di isha kishas ruach anochi. Do you not know that I am a woman of broken spirit? The yayin v'shechar lo shasisi, and I never went ahead and I did not drink any wine or any intoxicating beverage. So we'll say, so you see over here, first of all, so you see something amazing. Chana says back to Eli, lo adonata, you are clearly not a man who possesses the divine spirit. What's the understanding of the Muslim in this? Anyone who looks negatively and thinks negatively about another Jew is clearly not a person who possesses holiness of spirit. Right? If you could talk negatively or think negatively about another Jew, then there's chisaron, there's something missing in your kedusha. There's something missing, quote unquote, in your ruach hakodesh. So she gives this back to Eli. So the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Elazar mikan, we'll say another point halacha, mikan lenechshad bedavar, she'in bo'tzarak lahodio. Ultimately, we'll say, what do you see from here? You see that someone who was suspected of doing something wrong, but in fact did not do it, has an obligation to clear their name. We'll say, this is what's happening. So Chana realizes that Eli suspects her of being a drunk. So therefore, what does she do? She feels an obligation to go ahead and clear her name. Look at Rashi. Tap Rashi. Tzarech laodio. Hanechsha tzarech lenkos es atzmo laodio es choshdo. She'in ba osar of mugunas. So we'll say, this is the concept ultimately of v'semnikiyim. Of ultimately, again, quote unquote, being clean. Right? The idea being that if somebody is choshed me of something, they think I've done something wrong, I have an obligation to clear my name, that I did not do something wrong. I will say, the Mefarshim on the Navi point out here that what happened was Eli misread the Urim the Tumim. That Eli did not know what was happening with this lady. So what happened? So he asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the Choshen responded with the letters Shin Chaf Resh Hey, which spell out Shikora. The problem is the way the Urim V'Tumim often conveyed messages was they gave you the letters, and you needed Ruach HaKodesh to be able to arrange them in the right way. It wasn't Shikora. Instead, what was it? It was Kshera. Kodesh Baruch Hu was telling her, but Eli had a different set of issues going on. We'll say, why did Eli not have Ruach HaKodesh? Eli's sons, Chafni and Pinchas, right, were behaving inappropriately. And Eli, as a father, did not step in and address his children's negative behaviors. And because he did not step in and address his children's negative behaviors, his Ruach HaKodesh and his personal Kiddusha was compromised. And because of that, he did not know how to properly read the message of the Urim V'Tumim. Quite incredible. So again, Chana says to Eli, this is all the conversation between Chana and Eli. Do not place your maidservant, literally again, before you, Bas Belial. What does this mean? Amar Belazar, Mikan l'shikr shem espalo ki'ilu obid avodazara. Well, so you see from here, so what Chana was saying to Eli is essentially, do not look at me as an idol worshiper. So from here you see that someone who davens when they're drunk, right? Davens when they're drunk is as if they're worshipping idolatry. Ksif hacha lefnei bas belial, uksif hasam yatsu anoshim b'nei belial mikirbecha. Ma lahalon avodazara, av kan avodazara. So what you see over here, the Navi and the Torah use the same lashon of Belial. Belial is a contraction for Belial, without yoke. So therefore, again, good. So the Gemara says, "Vayan Eli v'yomer lechil shalom." Eli says to Chana, "Go in peace." Amar Rabbi Elazar, "Mikan lechoshe es chaveru b'davar she'in bo she'tzarach lefaiso v'la'od ela she'tzarach levarcho she'ne'emar So what you see from here, that's what? That when you suspect someone of wrongdoing and you were wrong, not only are you obligated to appease them, right? But what? You're obligated to bless them. So Eli realized that he was wrong about Chana. So first of all, again, he apologizes to her. But not only does he apologize to her, but what? He gives her a bracha. The bracha ultimately, again, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant your request and you should be given a child. Well, this is a very moving Gemara. Vatidor neder, vatom Hashem tzavakos. So Chana makes a neder. And also remember again, the nature of her neder is that if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. Right, if you give me a son, essentially again, I will give him over to your service. He will dedicate and pledge his life to you. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Miyom Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asalam Aloi Ha'adam Shekara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzivakos Ad Shebasa Chana V'Karasal Tzivakos. What's that is incredible. From the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there was no one ever called God Tzivakos, right? The Lord of Hosts. No one ever called him that until Chana came along. Amra Chana lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to how moving this tefillah is. Chana says to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, we'll say first wide line. Mikol tzva'i tzvaos, shebarasa ba'olamecha, kasha be'inecha shetitin li ben echad. Listen, hear this tefillah? Right? By the way, everybody davens this tefillah at some point in their lives. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, out of everything you created in this world, you can't give me one child? I was going to say, lav davka, maybe we don't daven it for children, but we all daven this type of verbiage at some point when there's something you need so badly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can do anything. You've created everything in this world. You can't give me one son? Everything you created in this world. Mashal amad avadam, Rabbi said, Gemara said, what's a mashal to this? Lemelech basar avadam, sha'asa su'udu la'avada. It was like a king who made a su'uda for his servants. Ba ani echad va'amed ala pesach. A poor person came along and he stood at the entranceway. Amar lahem tinuli prusa achos. He says to the people in charge of the suda, give me a piece of bread. They didn't listen to him. Dachak v'nichnas etzel hamelech. So he pushed his way into the king. Amar adoni hamelech. Mikol suda shasisa kasha beinecha li tinuli prusa achos. King, you're making a whole beautiful suda. You can't give me one piece of bread. This was the tefillah that Chana said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are Elokei Tzavakos. You are the God of everything. You can't give me one child. Imro'o tira. I'm Rabbi Elazar. I'm Rechana lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to this. This is wild. Chana said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shalom. Imro'o mutav. If you see my suffering and give me a child, good. Ve'im lav tira. And if not, Chana says, do not try this at home. Right? Chana says, if not, I'll show you. Chana saying to God, I'll show you. Eilech v'istater b'fnei al-kana bali. What says? She threatens God. And she says, God, I'm going to become a sota. What's a sota? A sota is a woman, again, who ultimately, again, is suspected of committing adultery. Right? So she said, I'll seclude myself with a man who's not my husband, in the presence of my husband. And what's going to happen? The mistatrana mashkuli mesota. And if I become a sota, they're going to have no choice but to administer the mesota, the sota waters to me. And what happens? Says Chana to God, v'yata ose torascha plastar. You will not make your Torah into a falsehood. And what does the Torah say? V'niksa v'nizra azera. Both say the pasuk says by sota that what? That ultimately, again, if she did not commit, if the woman committed adultery, she dies as a result of the mesota. But ultimately, if she did not commit adultery, then what? The mesota actually act as an incredible fertility treatment for her. So that works according to the opinion who says that if she was barren, the mesota actually help her conceive. There's another opinion. Mesota doesn't help the barren. What mesota does is it improves the quality of the pregnancy. Right? If you have a difficult pregnancy, she'll have an easier pregnancy. Not such good-looking children, she'll have better-looking children. So what is there to say? This Sanya, V'niksa v'nizra zera. So I'll say again, literally, v'niksa v'nizra zera means the mesota will literally allow the seed to take effect. Melamed shem haisak hara nifkedes. It teaches us that what? That if she was an akara, if ultimately she was barren, and she was innocent, the mesota will help her become pregnant. Rabbi Bishmal. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Imken yelchu chala karas kulon v'yestachru v'zushel okilkala nifkedes. Rabbi Akiva says, if that's the case, that mesota literally allow the barren to become pregnant, then what? Every woman who struggles with infertility is going to make herself into a sota to be able to avail herself of this. If Rabbi Kiva says, Elam lamed, shim hasi yoledes, betar yoledes berevach. Rather, what it means is as follows. Mesota will not help with infertility. What it will help with, that if she normally has a difficult pregnancy, she'll have an easier pregnancy. Kitzarim yoledes aruchim. She has short children, she'll have tall children. Shchorim yoledes levanim. Darker children, lighter children. Yoledes shnayim, I'm sorry, echa yoledes shnayim. One child, she'll have two children. Elamai, so the Gemara says, Elamai imra'a tira. So I'll say, what does it mean ultimately if Hannah says, if you'll see, then see. So I'll say, remember again, the interpretation ultimately is what? Imra'a tira, the Gemara is saying is like this. Originally we thought it's saying, either see my suffering and give me a child, or if not, I'm going to show you. What is that I'm going to show you? I'm going to become a sota, and I'm going to utilize your own Torah to have a child. So we'll say, so that only works if you hold that may sota allow the barren to become pregnant. But if that's not the case, then what do you do with the phrase of Imran Tira? Dibra Torah Kalash Shabbani Adam. Then we'll say, otherwise, it's just an expression. In other words, we'll say it's not anything specific. It's literally just an expression. So we'll say it's actually quite moving. Ba'aniyam asechav. So we'll say the pasuk goes on. The pasuk goes on. In Tidornet, we're just literally going through the pasuk. It's imra'o tira ba'ani amasecha. If you see the suffering of your maidservant, v'lo tishkach es amasecha, do not forget your maidservant. V'nasata la'amasecha, and you will give your maidservant zera anoshim. Amr Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Gimel Amasos Halalu Lamra Amachana. So we'll say Chana uses the word Amasecha, your maidservant, three times. Why does she use it three times? So the Gemara says, Lama Amrachan Nikash Baruch, Ribon Shalom, Shlosha Bit Ke Misa Barasa Beisha. They're all saying, now, literally translated, there are three things. There are three things that literally, Bit Ke Misa means three things that check for death. Va'amrile, Shlosha Div Ke Misa. Three things that create bonds of death. We'll say, in other words, saying a little bit differently, there are three mitzvot that a woman has that ultimately, again, if she fulfills them, then meretz Hashem, it says chus for longevity. But if she does not fulfill them, then chas v'shalom ultimately could be a reason for her demise. What are the three mitzvot that a woman must be exceptionally vigilant about? Ve'eluhein, nida, hilchos nida, chala, hafrashas chala, hadlokas haner, Shabbos candles. So Chana says, "Klum avarti al achas mehen." Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything you asked of me to do, chala, nida, hadlakas haner, whatever was upon me, I did. So I've done what's upon me. Why are you not doing what's upon you? V'Rava said, "This is an incredible gemara." V'nasata la'amasecha zera anoshim. Can you give to your maidservant literally again zera anoshim, the offspring of man? My zera anoshim. Amarav Guvra Beguvrin. Gavra Beguvrin. So Sechana was asking for a Gavna Beguvrin, literally again, a man amongst men. Give me a son who will be great. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Zerashem Oshay Shnei Anashim. Ultimately, a son who will anoint two men. Uman Inon, who, remember, Shmuel does anoint two men. Who does he anoint? Shaul V'David. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zerash Shagul Kishnei Anashim. Give me a man who is great as two men. Who is that? Uman Inon. Moshe v'Aaron. But says Shmuel, in his own way, was even greater than Moshe Aaron, as the pasuk says, Moshe v'Aaron b'kohanav. Maybe we should sing it. Moshe v'Aaron, Nathan, good, you got this. Right, Moshe v'Aaron b'kohanav. Right, Ushmuel b'kari Shemo. So we'll say, so the pasuk says ultimately again, Moshe Aaron and the kohanav, right, in their priesthood, and Shmuel b'kari Shemo. But I was supposed to say, so again, here's what's amazing. All of these opinions are saying, Chana wants a son who's going to be extraordinary. Give me a son who's going to be extraordinary. Rabbanan says this. Rabbanan say, Zera Anoshim, Zera Shemuvla Bein Anoshim. Chana says, give me an ordinary son. Give me someone that will say, literally again, who blends in with everyone else. Right? I don't need an extraordinary child. right? I don't need someone who's going to make waves, someone who's going to make headlines. Just give me someone who blends in with everyone else. Kiha, kiasir avdimi amar, lo aruch kvelo gutz. Give me a son who's not too tall, not too short. Lo katan velo ilein, velo tzachar velo gichar, velo chacham velo tipesh. Right? Just give me a regular child. They're both like, isn't this an incredible gemara? Such a dramatic machlokes as to what Chana wanted out of a son. Right? Is Chana davening for an extraordinary child? Or is she just simply davening for what? An ordinary child. I would say such an ultimate thing, and Chazal also telling us such fundamentally different parental paradigms. What is it that ultimately, again, we want from our children? Right? In order for us to be happy with our children, do we feel they have to accomplish something extraordinary or excellent? Or we'll be happy if they're just ordinary, well-adjusted people who just blend in with everyone else. My fundamental machlokes as ultimately again to what Chana wanted from her child. Pretty amazing. Ania Isha. Hanitzava simacha bazeh. So let's listen to this. So the Gemara says, I am the woman who ultimately, now again, the Pasuk literally translated is, I am the woman, Hanitzava simcha, who is literally standing with you in this. I'm going to be sure, Leib, what do you see from here? Mikan sha'asar leishay b'soch arba amo shel tefillah. From here you see that you are not permitted to sit down within dalit amis of someone who is davening. Look at Rashi just a moment. Hanitzav simcha mashma afhu ima ba'amidah. Supposedly what this thing over here is, apparently Eli was standing along with Chana. Why was Eli standing? Because we'll say the halacha is since Chana was davening, one is not permitted to sit within Dalit Amis of someone who's davening. Also, we spoke about this din of Dalit Amis beforehand. I both say this is a wild Gemara. So Chana says, it is for this son I have prayed. For this son I have prayed. So we'll say we're fast forwarding a little bit. Now, Mazel Tov, Shmuel is born. Right? Shmuel is born. Remember again, as soon as Shmuel is weaned, at the age of 3, Chana brings him to the Mishkan. She makes good on her neder. Remember, her neder was, if you give me a son, I pledge him to the service of God. So he's weaned, he's brought to the Mishkan, and given to be brought up in the care and in the charge of Eli HaKohen. Watch this story. Amar Belazar, Shmuel mora halacha b'fnei rabbo hoya. Shmuel paskind halacha in the presence of his Rebbe, which Rabbi say is a major, major infraction. Shneemar, watch this. They shechted the offering, they shechted the part of the carbon, and they brought the lad, who Shmuel, to Eli. Because they shechted the animal. Therefore what? Therefore they brought the boy before. Rabbi say, what's the connection between they shechted the par and they brought the boy before Eli? Ela Amar Lahan Eli Karu Kohen Lesi Vadishkot. So I was they were shechting the carbon, and Eli said, quick, find us a Kohen who could come and shech the carbon. Chazinu Shmuel, the Havu Kamahaji Basar Kohen Mishkat. Shmuel saw that they're scurrying around to find a Kohen to shech the carbon. Amar Lahu, Lama Luchu Laduri Basar Kohen Lemishkat. Why are you looking for a Kohen to shech the animal? Shchita Bizar Ksheira. Right? Shmuel says the halacha is that a non-Kohen is permitted to shech the carbon as well. I saw the kamei de Eli. So they brought Shmuel before Eli and they said to him, Amru lei, mina lechaha. They said, Shmuel, how do you know that shechita is ksheira bizar, that even a non-Kohen could shech the carbon? So the Gemara says, Amru lei, because Shmuel said, meksiv v'shachat ha-Kohen. Does the pasuk in the Torah say the Kohen shall slaughter? V'krivu ha-Kohenim ksiv. The pasuk says the Kohanim will offer. What do we learn from here? Mikabala ve'ilich mitzas kahuna mikan l'shchita shekshera bizar. Suppose what it teaches us is the kru means from hakrava, i.e. from kabbalah. Kabbalah means the receiving of the blood. It is only a kohen who must do from kabbalah and on, from receiving the blood and on, but shchita itself is kasher even with a non-kohen. Amar lei, meimar shaper ka'amrit. So Shmueli said, you're saying good. However, the problem is mihu mora halacha b'fnei rabcha at. Ultimately, again, you've passed halacha in front of your Rebbe. V'chol amora halacha b'fnei rabo chayiv nisa. And whoever passes halacha in front of the Rebbe is chayiv nisa. And I will say, this obviously Beis Din doesn't manage. This is misa b'dei shamayim. Right? Ultimately, and I will say, so you just understand this notion of being mora halacha b'fnei rabo. We've seen this a number of times. Not in brachas. We've seen it throughout Shas. This notion, ultimately, again, of reverence and respect for one's Rebbe. We'll say now there are ways that the Gemara talks about if the Rebbe made a mistake or how to point that out, but just paskening halacha in the presence of one's Rebbe is a serious infraction, a lack of kavod, a fundamental break in Mesorah. So Shmuel said, you're right, but the problem is you just paskening halacha publicly in front of your Rebbe, your Chayiv Misa. We'll say, get ready for this Gemara. Asya chana v'katzavcha kame. Chana came before Eli, and she started screaming, yelling before Eli. Don't you remember me? This is my son. Right? I was the one who davened for this child in your presence. I was there. Right? She said, don't you remember? Do you remember how hard I davened for this child? He cannot die. Amrullah, so Eli says, this is incredible. Shavki li di anshei uba'ina rachami v'yahavni lach. So Eli says, look, even if this child dies, I promise you I will daven for you again, and you will have a child who is even greater than this one. So Amrale, she said to him, El Hanar Hazeh Hispalalti. This is the child I davened for. This is the child I davened for. So we'll say, so again, an incredible, the truth is the Gemara is such a strange Gemara in and of itself. I would say, that's an incredible Musar, how people ultimately, again, become attached to what they have, even with the potential promise of something better. I don't mean in terms of children. I just mean in terms of life, right? I will say, there's a musr in this, and the musr in this is, how many times do we become tethered to our present mediocrity, even though there's the possibility for something so much greater? But this is what I have. This is what I've worked for. This is who I am. Even though, again, it's not what I could have, but Lameisa, this is what I'm embedded in. So again, obviously it's different by Chana, but Chana saying, this is the child, right? This was the gift, this was the miracle child from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If this was the miracle child from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then ultimately, again, this is my son. V'chana hi medaberes aliba. Chana literally, again, was speaking in her heart. Amar Rabbi Elazar Mishram Yossi ben Zimra, al iske liba. We'll say, matters of the heart. Amar lefan of Ribbono Shel Olam. Was such a moving Gemara. Every part of the body of a woman that you created. Lo barasa davar echa levatala. You created nothing that goes unused. Einayim liros, eyes to see. Aznayim lishmoa, ears to hear. Chotem lahariach, a nose to smell. Pel ledaber, a mouth to speak. Yadayim laasos ben malacha, hands to do work. Raglayim lahalich ben, feet to walk. Dadayim lahanik ben, breast to nurse a child. The daim halolu shenasata alibi lama lo lahanik bahen tainli ben va'anik bahen. Plus, it's such a moving Gemara. Chana says, Ribono shel Olam, every part of the body you made in a purposeful fashion, and here you gave me a part of my body that I cannot use for its intended purpose. Allow me ultimately to go ahead and fulfill my complete tachlis. Plus, I will just finish. Amar belozim mishrabi yosi ben zimra. This is a very amazing Gemara. We're not going to have a chance to really do justice. You know, Bosse, actually, we'll stop over here for today, and Meretz Hashem will pick up with this Gemara tomorrow.